Revelation 13. If you thumb through the pages of Revelation, when we started, and you look to see where we were headed, a lot of people would get to this chapter 13, and that's where they would say, yeah, that's where I want to get. Well, we done got there. Revelation 13, verse 1. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems. And on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. I saw one of the heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him?" There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for knowing your word, for seeing the future that you reveal. Of course, it's only a small portion of what will be. And your people are to be prepared, Lord, by this. We don't look at this in gloom, seeing what will come. We look at this in gladness, Lord, that this time is coming, and maybe soon, that we will see the end of your redemptive plan fulfilled in total. May we be humble as we look at it, Lord. Many look at these things and suddenly they are experts. I pray we'd be humble and able to be instructed. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the first things you encounter after you're born is a world system. You don't call it that. You don't know. You're going blah, 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 blah. But when you begin to make some sense of the world, when things start to click a little bit and you start making some conclusions in your very young brain, one thing we realize is that we have landed in a world system. We'll never call it that unless we're Einstein, maybe. And it's a very, very small world system. But we will, the sooner we realize it, the better for us. We will land in a world system. It is called the parental world system, where our parents rule over us. In a good parenting world system, parents make the decisions for their children so the children are kept safe and are instructed in the things of God, things which are eternal. That has been thrown way to the wind these days. Kids are asked questions about what they want to be when they don't even know what it is they're being asked. That's how much parenting has failed in our day. But a good parental world system makes sure a child eats properly. Did you ever, your parents ever tell you don't snack before supper? That's because they were in charge of their world system. And we were in the world system of which they ruled. We had to go to bed. What? Got to take a bath. Huh? All of these things because our parents made laws of our behavior. They did not tolerate us when we had spaghetti slinging it across the room at our siblings. They had certain rules. Not all families have the same rules because every parental world system has different parentals at the top. And they will decide what is important for them, what they will put up with, what they will not put up with. But it's for our good. And good parenting will raise kids who are respectable and good people as to the world, and also hopefully instructed in the things of Christ. Kids are told to obey their parents in this world system. They're not to go rogue and run out and be rebellious. They're to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And one day, these kids will grow up and they will implement their own world system. They will leave the other world system. The parents' world system, when you go to bed, what you eat, all that will be gone. But then in its place will be another world system. And that will be the governing factor then. Often in premarital counseling, one factor in the new world system, when a couple becomes another family, is what are you going to do at Christmas? We've always done this at Christmas. Our world system has been, for us, we did nothing on Christmas Eve in our family. Sunday morning, we got up, presents around the tree. Sunday for lunch, went to my grandparents. That was our world system. But a new family is going to have a new system. You got other family members to work in. But you make your own world system. Now magnify that about a zillion times, this parental world system. And you've got the world system that we see in the Bible and in Revelation. I mean the world system. The overall preeminent world system, of course, is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said we should pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because it's not being done on earth. Because the earth's world system is not run by God, except in his sovereign sense overall. The world, our world, has been ruled by the kingdom of darkness from the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve gave it over, gave the keys over to the devil to do with it whatever he would be pleased to do with it. And now the devil runs our world in a way to promote the most evil possible. 1 John chapter 5, we keep referring back to this. This is a blanket statement, absolute firm statement, of, among others there are in Scripture, that our world system is run by the devil. Verse 19, 1 John 5. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That is the world system run by the devil. The parental world system over a few kids, over family. The devil's world system is over the entire world. The whole world lies under the power of the wicked one. And if someone who is evil is in power, what do you get from it? You get evil. If you get a sprinkler, you want to sprinkle the grass, water the grass. The best sprinkler would be a sprinkler that waters every bit of grass in the yard, hits every spot, moves around and floods it all, does it just gets everything wet. That's the devil's world system. When the devil at the top of the world system, what the devil wants is to just flood the world with evil. How's he doing, by the way? The world is the devil's tool. Within his dominion to produce evil. We saw it in Revelation 12. What is the devil about in all of Revelation 12? He's trying to destroy redemption. He's trying to destroy Jesus. He's trying to destroy Israel. He's trying to destroy the church. The devil destroys. And we're told that things grow worse and worse with more deception over the entire population. Our world is like someone who jumps out of a plane without a parachute. At first, they may be a little bit alarmed. But the deception of the devil is like, by the time they get to the ground, they'll feel like they're doing the right thing. Because the deception is so profound. God is restraining the full outbreak of evil now. We're told the restrainer will one day be pulled aside. Otherwise, everything will be drenched. Everything will be overcome with evil. God is holding it within bounds, lest it break out. But it's inconceivable that rebellion against God among men and among fallen angels would continue unabated. If a dam breaks, it'll rush out hard for a while. At some point, it stops because the water is drained. The time will come when all of the devil's darts have been fired. All of his evil has been stopped. But until then, he is like us, sinners. He burns the candle to the very end before the lights go out. We have a choice still. But a lot of people, when faced with the choice of heaven or hell, they burn more hellish than heavenly. They don't seek the Lord. If someone is told they must repent or this is the result, most people push it harder on the hellish end than the heavenly. That's when I found out I probably had diabetes. I had to go to the hospital the next day. This was a Monday. I made sure to drink regular Pepsis and eat Hershey's Kisses Monday afternoon and Monday night. That was because I knew I was going to be without it for a while. So I gorged on that stuff. And then the next day, found I had diabetes and couldn't have it anymore until I got a pump. So, this is the way the devil is. When the devil falls to earth, he doesn't say, well, you know, I've been a bad boy. I'm going to slack up a little bit. He is even more enraged. Sinners should choose the other way. So often it is that they're driven even more to evil, to burn out the last little bit of the candle. So what is the world system? What we're seeing in Revelation 13 is the last part of the devil's world system. What do we mean by a world system? It's the managing of the assets of the world by the devil for his pleasure. The devil, having been given the title deed to the world by Adam and Eve's sin, he takes that and he governs those assets and manages those assets to get the most return to him. And the most return the devil wants is the most evil that he can produce from the world. It's the devil's pleasure to cause wickedness and rebellion and destruction. And in the devil's hands, the world is a tool for that. All these unregenerate hearts, all this, these assets, and with all that, the world is evil. That protest yesterday, you always got mad people protesting Antifa and all that. Protested out in Portland yesterday. You get a bunch of mad people and a bunch of mad protesters, and you get a lot of violence because you get mad. The devil's madder than anybody that we can even think about. And the world system is the devil taking what has been given to him by forfeiture from us and using it for his own ends. You know, someone bought the homestead I grew up in. My dad sold it years ago. And somebody bought it. And you know they had the audacity to change the layout of the house? Why, are you kidding me? The sunroom, they took the windows, several windows out of the sunroom. I've not been up there. My dad told me this. They took several windows out of the sunroom and put them in other places in the house and took the porch out. And this, you will not believe what I'm about to tell you right now. Off the carport, they put a door that goes into my bedroom from the outside. And I told her, I said, are they absolutely crazy? They took my sister's room completely out and made a bigger kitchen from that to there because they were selling something at these local county things. I said, I don't even think I could go up there to see it. The heartbreak it would be. The audacity these people have to buy the house and then to change it. Well, what happens with the devil is, once he gets his hands on the world, made by God for good, he messes it all up. And we see it ever more every day come out even more wicked. Now, all elements are under the devil's control. Not just the big ones like we see here in Revelation 13. Every person who is not in the kingdom of God is in the kingdom of darkness and are useful tools for the devil's glory. But some of the bigger ones we'll recognize. One of the most visible systems that the devil uses in the world is government, nations. Now, governments are of God. Don't get me wrong. A person in a government, a leader of a government, they're set in place by God, Romans tells us. Government is, in its good form, of good use to us to bring order and, you know, such as that we need in the world. But the governments of the world increasingly forsake God's sovereign authority. The governments of the world cover up the truth in unrighteousness. They never talk about the gospel or righteousness or Christ. Governments believe in themselves and in their power to save the world. And here's a perfect example. When something happens that's bad, what do people say? This is pathetic. What do people say? When will Congress do something? Excuse me? When will Congress do something? Congress has no will for this. Congress has no power for this. Hold your breath. There's no will for righteousness within the Congress. People should be saying we should pray to God to do something. We should proclaim the gospel. People say, well, we got to have another law. Yeah, we got to bring more laws. You know, did you know it was already illegal to kill somebody? That's already on the books. But yet we say, well, we got to stop it. You cannot stop. The heart has to be addressed. Government can't do that. The people are fussing at tech industry today. The tech giants, you know, Google, Facebook, all that crap. You got to make our You got to make our data more private. You got to watch out for us. They have no will for that. Facebook has no will to make your stuff private. They have a will to make your stuff public so they make money off of it. Don't wait for them to change anything. It's not in their heart. We have an educational system. It's greatly altered education. We now hear, children hear about evolution. Children hear about climate change. Children hear about gender indoctrination. Children hear that all religions are the same and not unnecessary. And they can't read and write anymore and do math. There's been a total change from even our day of those of us who are older. And not all elements of the world system are of the world. Christians have been rescued from the world. We still live within the system. We're not to love the world, nor the things in the world, 1 John 2:15 through 17. And we're persecuted because we don't fit in. But that's the world system. And in verse 1, the world system of the latter days gets to the final pieces of the devil's plan. The beast. One of the most well-known and mysterious elements in the book of Revelation is the beast. A beast is a ravager, a destroyer. When I met Cindy and started telling my family about Cindy, what's she like? Ah, she's a beast. No, that wouldn't fit. That means you're a destroyer. Someone who's wreaking havoc. Almost every president in recent times has been considered as the possible beast by some. Every one of them. I never believed Obama was the beast, but that was talk. Somebody gets in power, who's the beast? And there are 666 million and counting guesses about the mark of the beast, 666, and what it means. I've heard a bunch of them. People imagine the beast as simply someone they strongly disagree with. If you see someone in this world who you strongly disagree with that you think is destroying things, oh, that's the beast. Did you know what we see here in Revelation 13 is the beast is someone the world agrees with, not disagrees with. The beast is popular, not unpopular. The beast is not looked at as a destroyer, as a beast. There are two beasts mentioned here in Revelation 13. Let me just mention the second one first, verse 11. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. That is a beast that serves in the area of religion. Verse 14, he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and come to life. And verse 15 says that they were to worship the beast. He led in the worship of the beast. He is the religious beast who supports the godless world system headed by this first beast. Religion, the vast majority of religions, drive people from God, not to God. Islam gets a pass today in a lot of ways because Islam is not against the devil's purposes. Christianity is. But religion of all kinds outside of Christ is an absolute tool by the devil to lead people away from God. And that will come more in the latter days. But here we have the beast out of the sea, verse 1 says. This beast comes out of the sea, which is where the nations arise from. So that this beast is a political beast, a world leader. He's not a computer. It's not the Terminator. This is a political world leader who we normally typically call, and is called elsewhere, the Antichrist. This is the rise of the Antichrist. And our world is ready for this guy. I cannot imagine a more fit time for a political savior to come along and save us all from everything that's going on, from the climate, from the Arab-Israeli relations, from the Islamists, all that, everything. Here this guy comes in, and suddenly he is the great hope. People are looking for this guy. And the Bible tells us he's on the way. Whether he's alive today or not, he'll be revealed in his time. And so we're speaking of a world system full of civil and religious assaults on the will of God. Now, the rise of the first beast, there's some discrepancy in your version, probably. If you have a New King James or a King James, it will say that John stood on the seashore. And if you have the others, it will say the dragon stood on the seashore. I think the dragon standing on the seashore is accurate. It's the older manuscripts. The New King James is only saying it because the King James does. So the dragon is connected to the rise of the beast out of the sea because he stands on the seashore and the beast rises out of the sea. This is the visible representative of the dragon. This is the dragon's man. And the way he's described, very near to what we see in Daniel, he's described the way the nations in Daniel are described as they rose into power in Daniel's visions. And this is the evil world system. These beasts in Daniel rose in opposition to God. The message of Daniel was that in the end, the kingdom of God will reign over them all. But here we see the nations rising. And when the nations rise, what did the nations do? The nations do what the nations want to do. The nations do what the devil inspires them to do. How else would a nation like ours, since 1973, kill millions of babies in the womb? How else can you do that? The devil loves that. In the kingdom of God, that would never be allowed. But here, the more the better. So the nations do what the nations want to do with an unregenerate mind and an unregenerate heart. We're told that one of the heads of this beast had been slain, but it had been healed. Verse 3 says, I can't tell you what that is. In that day, there's going to be one of these heads, one of these nations that form the conglomerate. One of these had been slain. But then it comes to prominence. It's a miracle. And the world, we're told, will marvel at it. Verse 30 says, the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. What Jesus did in miracles to bring the world's attention to himself and to cause them to follow him, they wouldn't follow him. The beast comes along and there's some miracle that is performed and the whole world's after him. Because that is the devil's will for his world. Verse 4 says, they worship the dragon, the devil, because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him? They were enamored. They were smitten. Whatever the beast brings, he brings power and wisdom, the kind of intelligence and leadership that the world sees as the answer. Peace and safety. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Here's the beast coming in, bringing peace and safety. I can imagine the the Jews and the Arabs getting together as nations, and everything's hunky-dory. And it's not someone who is hated. I bet 50 million people think that the president of the country, our country, Donald Trump, is the beast. I would bet that. If someone said, oh, the beast, oh, they'll say, the beast is already around. I can tell you where the beast lives. I've discovered, you know, when I was probably 9 or 10 years old, I wrecked my bike in a ditch. I didn't know it at the time, but I know now that Donald Trump had something to do with that. Because he's the blame of everything. So it's going to be imagined that Donald Trump is the one. We see the beast is against Israel. I read a couple of days ago, the most popular man in Israel is Donald Trump. So he's not the beast for sure. This guy is popular. This guy is going to be the savior of the world. And he is overtly opposed to God. He's like, come out of the closet. Let's stop this religious stuff. People are already saying this when there are shootings. We don't want thoughts and prayers. They don't do any good. And here the beast comes along and says, let's just forsake all that. We're going to be pure secular. And people love it. He was given a mouth to speak arrogant words and blasphemies, verse 5 says. He was given a foul mouth. And yet people love it. He blasphemed God, his name, and those who dwell in heaven, verse 6 says. And people loved it. He was given power to make war with the saints and overcome them, and people loved it. These Christians. Christians have always been thought of as being the ones who bring judgment because they won't worship their gods. Get rid of them. He was given authority over every tribe, people, tongue, and nation, verse 7 tells us, for 42 months. He's the great Savior of the world. A world wide ruler. He's not just in the United States. He's not just in Israel. Not just in Russia. This guy runs the world. He's the beast. Given authority by the devil, who is the god of this world, to run the world, to accomplish what the devil hopes to accomplish in his world system. Every political election is being looked for right now. Who is going to save us among the people who are running right now? When you look at the people running for president, who do you look at and say, oh yeah, they're going to save us? Hello. Nobody can. The beast comes along, he will. He'll say, oh yeah, people, that's the one. And the beast presses forward Satan's world system, and the people of the world are going to love it. Now verses 9 and 10 close this section. And basically say, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he will go. If anyone kills with the sword, with the sword he must be killed. Here's the perseverance and the faith of the saints. The saints will be pressed. Today we have, in this country, a no-cost Christianity. You can be a tagger-along. You can be a make-believer. And you don't pay the price. In other countries, if you claim to be a Christian, you'll be persecuted pretty heavily. When you're baptized, it is a declaration to the world that you're a Christian. And in these other countries, they'll kill you. And only those who truly know the Lord will stand in that day. Because we're told earlier that they'll worship the beast and accept those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Otherwise, the whole world will worship. The whole world will fall. But those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will stay true. That's how you'll know a Christian. Today, Christians might be able to hide in a pew somewhere. You won't be able to do that then. They're not going to pay the price if they're not truly into it. How many times did you hear this growing up? To your friends, my parents won't let me. My parents won't let me. You know why that mattered? Because you were in the parental world system. Let me tell you, the beast will let you. When the beast comes in, he'll let you. He had no problem with doing extreme acts of evil. The beast will let you play in the road. The beast will let you get on drugs. The beast will let you go into a rage. But that's not our world system. But that's the world system that everyone's going to embrace who does not embrace Christ. We must embrace our Lord, who is the King of Heaven. And by that, we will not be destroyed by the beast and his kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, how kind of you to tell us the nature of what is coming. He's no threat to you, Lord. He's a threat to us within your will. And the world is seeking for this kind of destructive ruler because of deception and hardness of heart. Lord, may you set our world free, and may we see more who are able in that day to stand against this final persecution. I pray in Jesus' name.